Next week we will do a summary of all of the Psalms and go through what we can learn collectively from them. This week in preparation, I do want to do review as we always do. So feel free to turn back to Psalm 120 quickly and let's review what we've learned so far, what the Lord has taught us. So Psalm 120, we see that we should lay down the burden of those who hate us and deceive, and lay that burden down at God's feet as we come for worship. 121, we see that we should look to God instead of what? Trouble or the dangers around us, right? Dangers that we could face. And really, if you look at the context of that psalm, it's not necessarily ones that you see, but even just the fear of troubles around you and that anxiety. 122, we see that we should have joy and consider God's greatness. 123, we should humbly seek God's grace as we feel pressures around us. 24, we should remember where we would be if it were not for God. 25, we should joy and rest in God protecting those who trust in Him. 26, we should humbly joy in what God has done for us both in the past and the present. 27, we should express complete gratitude and dependence on the Lord for every achievement and blessing in our lives. 28, we should recognize the blessings of walking in the ways of the Lord. 29, we should focus on God as the righteous judge through persecution. 30, we should recognize our sin and God's forgiveness. 31, we should humble ourselves and be resting in God. 32, we should be depending upon and dwelling upon God's word and His promises, specifically His promises of who? The Messiah, for them. So us looking back on the truth of that the Messiah came for us and that our salvation rests in Him. Then 133, last week, we learned that we should focus and enjoy and keep in mind the blessings of dwelling together in unity. And of course, back then, that would have been specifically the time of all of them coming together as the nation of Israel, right? In Jerusalem, worshiping the Lord and having unity there. But as a church, we have a greater privilege where we can gather together more than a couple times a year for festivals, right? And we're, in fact, even more unified because, not because we are from the same people group, but because we have the same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the same Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, and we're baptized with the same baptism. What a wonderful unity that we have that we're able to defend and to maintain as a church body, as the bride of Christ. And now Psalm 134 we'll see is really the sum and just the closing of the pilgrim psalms, and it's actually kind of an introduction to the rest of the psalms, 135 through 150, of worshiping and focusing on praising the Lord and lifting up His name. But it's the last of the pilgrim psalms, and I wanted to point out something. We'll look at a little more next week, but something to keep in mind. Psalm 120, if you notice, Psalm 120, it talks about the psalmist talks about how he's dwelling where? Far away, right? And that he's surrounded by unknown. When he says, let me look the exact wording because I don't want to mix it up. I know the tents of Kedar, and let me look that up real quick. Woe is me, for I sojourn in Meshech, for I dwell among the tents of Kedar. And what was that showing us? That out of Jerusalem, right? Far away, surrounded by people not around us. In 121, obviously referring to the journey going towards Jerusalem, right? I look to the hills, there's troubles, where comes my help? My help is from the Lord. 122 talks about what? Coming into Jerusalem, and it talks about the glory of that city and the goodness of God in it. And then we see the rest of these psalms from 123 on really refer, and we see just a focus on God and His goodness, whether it be Him as the judge or Him as our protector, etc. And then the second to last psalm, as we looked at last week, was talking about how good it is for all of us to dwell together in unity. as they had come together to worship the Lord, going over the Psalms that they just went over, right? Focusing on the goodness of the Lord. And now Psalm 134 closes it out with worship the Lord, and that there are blessings that come from worshiping the Lord. Isn't that neat to see? I hadn't really put all of that together until this week, looking at the final psalm, of seeing the progression there of dwelling far away, journeying to Jerusalem, being at Jerusalem, praising the Lord, and then enjoying the unity that they feel because of this time together. And then, of course, as they go, remembering to praise and bless the Lord. So I just wanted to point that out, the neat progression there of these psalms together. But Psalm 134 is the shortest one. It's equal with 133 as far as verses go, but these verses are shorter. But definitely full of rich blessings and truth for us. So Psalm 134, "Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth." Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. That we can sit together and remember his death. For all other religions, the death of their leader is tragedy. For us, it is our victory. He died on our behalf, and that he did not stay dead, but rather rose from the dead. And we're able to remember his body that was broken and his blood that was shed. And we're able to look forward to Christ's return, for you did not leave him to decay in the grave. Rather, he rose up and conquered death. We are able to glory in the fact that there is no sting of death for those who rest in Christ as their Savior. Father, our response should be praise to you. I pray as today we look at the psalm that you would help us to have a better understanding of how we ought to praise you, how our hearts ought to be as we approach you in order to worship you. Lord, help us to see things in our lives that need to be changed. We've prayed in the past, perform surgery on our hearts, cut away those things which keep us from a closer relationship with you. We love you, Lord, and ask that you would give us understanding of this text. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go ahead and work through the psalm. It is short. But once again, as I've said in the past, it's a funny sounding illustration, but it's a short ladder which ascends to great heights, right? So it's a short psalm, but does reach to great heights of truth for us. So I want us first to notice or keep in mind the setting. Okay, really we can put ourselves in two different settings for this psalm. Number one would be, maybe pilgrims are finally coming into Jerusalem, okay? They're finally reaching Jerusalem, and it's evening time. So they're coming into Jerusalem, lit by the moon, and they come by the temple. And they call out to the priests that are dwelling in the temple at the time, serving the Lord at the time. And in response to them completing their journey, they're saying, "Behold, worship the Lord for us, because we have made our journey. We have finished it. We've arrived." Very well, I'm sure that this psalm would have been sung exactly in that manner as the pilgrims arrived into Jerusalem, but also each evening as they were there worshiping the Lord. I could picture the pilgrims keeping this psalm in mind, right? as they worship the Lord, and remembering that as they are there dwelling together in unity with their brothers and sisters of Israel, worshiping the Lord, there are priests continually, as we'll see in other passages during this message, in the temple worshiping the Lord, night and day, never ceasing. The joy of that, and of course you can picture kind of the final night that they're there, everything is quieted down. It is in the evening. The hustle and bustle of the town has died down, and you hear a pilgrim cry out towards the temple as maybe they pass by in the evening and all is quiet, joying in a sense that they know the worship of the Lord continues even though the pilgrims have laid their heads down to rest. Remembering, and in that sense urging, but also simply remembering that, behold, all the servants of the Lord who serve by night in the house of the Lord, they are lifting up their hands in the sanctuary. So what a neat setting, right, to kind of picture ourselves in back a few thousand years ago. And here the first word of the psalm starts off exactly the way Psalm 133 started off. Behold. I'm going to do this to get your attention. Behold. Listen up. Hey, pay attention. Give heed. And last week it was, give heed to these truths, that it's good and pleasant for brothers to dwell in unity. And this week it's, behold, all you servants of the Lord who serve by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And once again, put ourselves in that setting. Maybe the pilgrims coming in from a 3-day journey through the troubles, right? Through the trials, surrounded by the mountains where thieves and awful weather are. And they come weary in the evening into Jerusalem. And as they pass by the temple, their hearts full because they've reached their final destination to worship the Lord. They cry out and call out to those priests serving at night, maybe tired, right? And feeling a bit weary, and they cry out, behold, worship the Lord. And maybe giving a little extra life to those priests and Levites who are tired, serving in the middle of the night. Behold, so give attention. Something that you must do. Listen up, take heed. Notice our arrival and praise God. Or notice our call and appeal for you to continue praising God. So in the quiet of evening, weary eyes, a cry to take heed and serve. So after behold, we see, continuing in verse 1, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. So we see the word bless. And often you hear this word referred from God to man, right? And we saw that very similar to that in verse 1 of Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. And we basically said that could be summed up in how blessed it is. Right? So what exactly now is this, are the pilgrims referring to when they say, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord? So is it the same exact manner in the way God blesses us, we're supposed to bless God? Well, obviously we can't, right? God is pouring down His graciousness upon us when He blesses us, giving us good gifts, taking care of us, giving us joy and happiness. So what exactly would the psalmist be referring to here when they use the word bless? It's actually commanded that the servants of the Lord bless the Lord twice in these three small verses. If we look at the two different verses, I believe it's referring to two slightly different things, and we'll see that in the context. So look here, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who what? Say it out loud. Who serve by night in the house of the Lord. The word bless has a large semantic range. Okay, that means that it can mean quite a few different things in different contexts. Okay? And kind of like, I guess I'm from New England, so this would be a little more to me, but the word wicked, right? And And New Hampshire, we use the word wicked all the time. And wicked, of course, can mean something that's bad, right? But then if you ever talk with a New Englander, go up to New England, you'll hear the phrase very often, oh, that was wicked good. And you go, wait a second, what exactly does that mean? It was bad good? And simply wicked in that context would be meaning very, okay? Or you just come up and somebody does a cool trick on a snowboard, maybe you're out skiing, you would hear somebody go, wow, that was wicked. And in that context, it would simply be saying that was a really cool trick. So a few different ways that are meanings of the word wicked. And in the same way, bless has a few different meanings depending on the context that you're in. And it can very literally mean the bending of knees or the bowing of a person. And then we see shortly after in verse 1, who, as I already pointed out, serve by night in the house of the Lord. So here, I would believe, as looking at the context and the different meanings of the word bless, the pilgrims are calling out to the servants of the Lord that they, on bended knee, continue serving the Lord. On bended knee, continue serving the Lord. I want to point out one other thing. Psalm 103, verse 20, it says, it tells us that the angels bless God, and then directly tied to that, it is tied to them obeying His word. And of course, so therefore, they're serving God by what? Obeying His word. And that same way here, they're carrying out the idea of bending in service. So bless. Behold, bless. And who are they to bless? The Lord. They are to bless the Lord. This word here used is Jehovah. Yahweh, creator of the universe. The God of Isaac, Abraham, Jacob. The God of Noah, the very God that created all the earth. This is the God that they are stopping to serve. I wanted to quickly ask the question, have we ever stopped and taken a moment to appreciate who we serve? That we serve Jehovah, God Almighty. And as you recognize who we serve, as we go throughout our lives, the attitude of our service would change a little, wouldn't it? And surely that, of course, this is in a sense an illustration, unless you're cleaning under the pews or something, but that it would be a service of bended knee, right? Of bowing before the Lord. A humble service. Recognizing how awesome our God is. How powerful our God is. So behold, serve the Lord on bended knee, all servants of the Lord. So we see the psalmist is simply urging service or worship to commence. We also see in verse 1, this praise would be carried out by the priests and Levites as they continually served in the temple. The specific scene set in this psalm, as we've already talked about, is at what? At night, or in the evening. So we see he's commanding, behold, serve the Lord, who? All servants of the Lord, who serve by night. So he specifies who they're directly addressing right now. So those serving in the evening service. 1 Chronicles 9:33 says, now these are the singers, heads of fathers, households of the Levites, who lived in the chambers of the temple, free from other service, for they were engaged in their work both day and night. So here we see that worshiping of the Lord was continual. Psalm 141, verse 2, it says, may my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. So we see that as they gathered together to worship the Lord here at these festivals, it wasn't just like, all right, get together from 2 to 5 this afternoon and we're going to worship the Lord, and then everybody go back and you continue doing your everyday things. There was continual worship towards the Lord all the time, day and night. That is who they're addressing, these servants who may be weary, right? And all of us who have ever worked an evening job or all through the night, thankfully I've never had to have a all through the night job, although college tended to be, right? And you know that weariness that can come about. You know how your eyes can start to close. And yet the psalmist is crying out, "Behold, be alert, serve the Lord on bended knee." Then the second aspect of this is verse 2. We see, "Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord." So first I want to look at lifting your hands. Psalm 28 verse 2, it says, "Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary." Psalm 63:4, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name." 119:48, "I shall delight in your commandments which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." 141:2, "O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me, give ear to my voice when I call to you. My prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering." So here we see the lifting of hands being tied to a couple things. Definitely prayer and praise, right? Lifting up their praise unto the Lord. We also see that it is tied to having an adoration or a appreciation or a love, right? In 119:48, as we read, he says, "I delight in your commandments which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments which I love." So showing an appreciation or a love for something. And then also tied to having not simply a prayer of praise, a prayer of adoration, but also in supplication or asking for the Lord for something. Lifting up of honoring of their hands to the Lord. And here we see the psalmist says, "Lift up your hands" where? Or towards what? The sanctuary. So once again, the psalm gives us such great visual, okay? And I'm not a super into... I can't even think of the word. Growing up as a kid, I never had a great imagination, all right? So I don't know how I'd word that now. I don't have a great imagination, all right? But close your eyes for a second and imagine it, right? Picture the priests and the Levites in the temple, and they have the Holy of Holies, the place where God has promised to dwell with them, the place where the ark rests, where they simply went in once a year. And they're able to pray towards that visual, towards the veil that guards it, picturing and knowing that God has promised to dwell there. I mean, think about that opportunity to pray there, knowing God has said, "I will dwell here, right here," and you're looking at it. In that sense, they didn't have a door, right? But you're looking at the door which God has promised to dwell right behind. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary, or to God's sanctuary, and bless the Lord. So once again, looking at the context here, what exactly is the psalmist saying here when he says, "Bless the Lord"? Well, if you look at what this verse is saying, "Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord." So here we see, once again, I would say here is quite literally simply bend your knees towards Him in prayer. As you pray, as you lift your hands towards Him in prayer. So they're simply saying, pray unto the Lord towards the sanctuary, keeping in mind where He's dwelling, and bless the Lord. So we see here that this praise would include prayer unto the Lord. And this prayer would be focused and directed to Jehovah. I wanted to take a quick moment. We'll touch on this in the applications in a couple brief minutes. But when we pray, I mean, what an image for them, right? Praying towards the Holy of Holies. When we pray, do we recognize the fact that we are praying towards Jehovah and that He has promised that He's always listening? He's always there for us, that He's always right here, that He never moves. And that, in fact, we have the Holy Spirit interceding for us, right? When we don't know what to say, and that we have a great high priest who's perfect before the throne on our behalf. What a great privilege we have now to be able to lift our hands to the Lord in prayer. And then lastly, I'm going to have all of you do something. I'm going to have you fix your point number 2. I have down, they desire to see God's blessing towards His servants. And when I was first working on this, I was taking it and understanding it as just a continuation of verses 1 and 2, that these pilgrim psalms would be proclaiming a blessing upon the priests. Okay, may the Lord bless you from Zion. But after I made my outline, of course, and emailed it to Pastor John, and I continued studying, I realized there's a change in voice in verse 3, and it goes to singular. And before, as we saw in verse 1, they're saying, all servants of the Lord, who, plural, lift up your hands, plural, bless the Lord. And now we have it changed. It goes, may the Lord bless you, singular, from Zion. So as I continued to study, and I found many, many people agree with this opinion, is that this is now a response coming from the temple, from the priests, back out to the pilgrims, back out to those who were urging the praise and worship to be continuing and the prayer. Now you have a response come out of the temple, and the response is, may the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. So this is, I guess you could fix that blank however you want to, but simply denoting that it's from the priests or the Levites back out to the pilgrims. So they desire to see God's blessing towards the pilgrims, I guess you could say, to fix that blank or that point in the outline. So I want to look at that quickly. We have the priests, Aaron's sons, commanded to bless the sons of Israel in Numbers 6:23. And this maybe would have been more of a full picture of the blessing that would have poured forth from the temple at this time. This might be very well have been just simply a summary of saying, may the Lord bless you from Zion. That's what's coming forth from the temple. But holy and as a bigger picture, I believe number 6 gives us that bigger picture of what exactly maybe was said in response. Was this, number 6:23 says, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. So in response to the urge for worship and praise to the Lord, we see them calling out that the Lord Jehovah bless you pilgrims. The Lord Jehovah bless Israel from His dwelling place, location of His covenant. We see the Lord bless you from where? From Zion. Now think about this in context one more time. Especially if you put it in the setting of the pilgrims are leaving, right? And going back to be scattered about after they've come together in unity and worship the Lord. And now what are they pointing out? As you go out, what will follow you? The blessing of the Lord from His promised dwelling place. And of course we know God dwells everywhere, right? We're looking at the context of this. So from His promised dwelling place, His blessing shall follow you when you go back to Meshech and the tents of Kedar. As you go back out to your unfamiliar lands, the Lord bless you. But an encouragement to those pilgrims as they journey back, right? May the Lord bless you from Zion, and then we need to wrap this up. So he who made heaven and earth, the creator of all, of course denoting his all-powerfulness, he is omnipotent, almighty God, he is the one blessing. I want to cover a couple quick applications. Number one, remember who you are serving and in the manner in which you serve. Verse 1, right? That they are calling out that the priests and the Levites be serving on what? Bended knee. Secondly, we see, remember who and where you pray to. What an awesome privilege we have to pray unto the Lord Almighty. That we know He is listening. That we know when we don't know what to say, the Spirit is there for us. That when we feel sinful and inadequate to come to the Lord, which we always are, we are adequate to come to the Lord in Christ, our great high priest. Remember the power of God when you pray. All through this, we see just statements pointing to the power of the Lord, calling him Jehovah. That you're to be focused towards his sanctuary, he who made heaven and earth. I'm going to couple quick things. The Lord, specific opportunities that he used to teach me the power of prayer. And it doesn't always happen like this, right? Right? God sometimes answers yes immediately. Sometimes he says wait. Sometimes he says I have something better. But I was on a missions trip helping with a junior high missions trip one time when I was in senior high, and we were supposed to do a Cola War. And we had been working all week towards this Friday night Cola War. And we set everything up, and a huge thunderstorm rolled in. And we had just a few people huddled under two tents. And I kept feeling in my heart going, I really should pray that the Lord clears up the weather. And I thought, no, I'll just do it by myself. We have some visitors here. I don't want to pray and then have it not happen. And this went on in my heart for about 10 minutes. And finally, I was like, fine. Okay, Lord, I'll pray. So I just announced it to everybody. I said, let's just pray that the Lord would allow us to have this ministry to preach forth the gospel. And we prayed, and I timed it just for fun. And within 3 minutes, not a cloud was in the sky, and the sun was drying up the rain. Now, does that always happen? No, right? But obviously, we see the power of God as creator, right? For the universe. One other quick one was in Phoenix, Arizona on a mission trip. We were in a rough area. We finished a Cold War, another Cold War. And I had a strong desire to see somebody come to know Christ. I hadn't really had an opportunity to have a good conversation, and it seemed like everybody was already taken, because that was the goal, that after the service finished, all the teens on the mission trip would try to pair up with somebody and talk to them. So I went back to my room and I prayed, and I came back out and I saw three guys leaving, and they were headed in a certain direction around the block, and I was able to stop them and speak with them. And about a minute and a half to 2 minutes after I stopped and spoke with them, there was a shooting right around the corner by a gang. Exactly where they were headed. And those three boys, by the grace of God, accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior on that spot. Where, if they hadn't been stopped by the grace of God, they would have been right in the middle of the shooting. Answer to prayer. We are praying to God Almighty, who made heaven and earth, when we pray. He is powerful. Two very quick last notes. Remember the position in prayer, absolute reverence to God, the bending of knee, the lifting of hands, and praise and honor to Him. Maybe we don't necessarily show that culturally now by lifting of our hands towards God, but bowing our heads in reverence to Him. And then God's response and blessing is not just an afterthought added on to finish the psalm up. There is blessing in worshiping God. You realize that as we are freely able to worship God now, it's but a glimpse of what heaven will be like. Worshiping the Lord in perfection. As I heard a pastor say last night, heaven will be perfect people in a perfect place praising a perfect God. And when we get to gather together and worship the Lord, it is but a glimpse of that. What a blessing. Amen? We're able to worship the Lord. So let's close in prayer to God Almighty. Father, thank you that you are a powerful God. that we now have the great privilege to worship you, not just at specified times, but day and night. Lift up praises to you in the way we speak, the things we do, the desires of our heart, that all things we do would be focused towards you, Lord. Thank you for the blessing of worshiping you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.